two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes!
Yes! The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. Happy Championship Day to you right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Is that a thing? Jake Hatch,
Might as well
Championship
call
it
that.
Day? Yeah. That's where we're at. I mean, the Utes, of course, down in Vegas today. Coverage all day long right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, of course. You're going to get the Utah pregame show. The Utes pregame show is going to fire up at 5 o'clock. Hans and Christian are going to bring you that from Vegas. So it's a really, really good time to be listening to some talk radio, like an old school way of just being like, I'm going to get my whole download on how this game is going to go down. And we've got tons to bring here for you as well. Scott Mitchell is also down in Las Vegas. He's at the stadium right now, and we're trying to get him connected via the Wi-Fi down there. Technology is part of the deal. Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television is also going to join us. But as I mentioned, Jake Hatch joining me today. Jake, thanks for hanging out on a Friday later than usual.
And hey.
This is what we do, right?
Happy to do it. I love doing what we do.
It's fun. Look, it's not your normal type of work.
Uh-huh.
It's a ton of fun. So we're going to jump in. That's what we're going to do today.
Scotty talks all the time. Like, this beats digging ditches.
This is not digging ditches.
Yeah, exactly.
1,000% it's not. So
yeah.
It's one of these things that we're looking forward to. The Utes and the Trojans tonight. It's game day. These Friday games are interesting, though, too, Jake. That's one thing that I think that we've asked a bunch of people this week. Is like, so why is it on a Friday? Like, I mean, I know it's just Fox essentially saying, here's when you're going to play, but why can't it be on the normal championship day that everybody else is? Is it just so they can have that singular, like, everybody's dialed in on this one game on a Friday night?
I think that was the idea when they signed this deal to do it, but let's be honest. Friday nights in college football, the ratings, they don't match up.
Like, I'll tell you right now, like, look, Jazz fans tonight are going to be torn.
Yeah.
They're going to be at the stadium trying to watch a Utah game at the same time.
Yeah, go dual screen, yep.
I mean, that's honestly what's going on. I'm going to the game across the street tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I also am like, hey, man, I got to get my fill of both. It's not good. It's ridiculous.
It is. And that's the weird thing about this is you're going to have to pick what you are going to focus in on tonight.
Here's what we're going to do. Jake, you're familiar with this. When we start the show off, we do the cut, and that's where we start everything at the top of the hour here. And hopefully we've got Scott Mitchell via the telephone lines now that we figured it out. So that's where we start things with the cut. Let's do it.
There we go.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, Unrivaled and The Cut brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. Give them a shot. G2G Bars, you've heard us talking about them. They taste amazing. Joining us from Las Vegas, he is, of course, on the radio call tonight for the Utah Utes. It's he's putting on a different hat. He's usually, of course, hosting this show with me, Scott Mitchell, on the program here with us. Scott, what's up, man?
Oh, not much. Just sitting in the Death Star waiting for Darth Vader to show up. It's good.
Who's Darth Vader in this instance? Because really, both teams try to malign the others.
The vaunted like villain. It's the USC Trojans.
Yeah, man.
It was kind of funny. I woke up today and I was like, hey, this is a season that started in a swamp, is ending in the Death Star, and hopefully it all turns up roses.
There we go.
I just can picture Scott with his hair all tussled, and he's like, I'm writing that down, like next to his hotel bed. I got something I'm going to say.
I already posted it.
He did. I actually saw it on social media.
You know what? Good for you. I'm just proud of you for posting something on social media, Scott. I'm like, this is an exciting day for us.
Blind squirrel every once in a while.
Okay, final thoughts here, because we're trying to figure out this game, and out of all the talking that's been happening today, and we're doing a little bit of it obviously today, what are we going to really take away from this thing? We know that it looks like Cam Rising, Dalton Kincaid, and Clark Phillips are all a go. I don't think people wondered if they were going to be a go. The question is if they're going to be 100%. We've seen them playing at some level of being injured, so where are they right now? What do we know about that?
Yeah, it looks like all those guys will play. Jonah Ellis is the other guy. It's just a question of whether he'll be out there. And he's very important because he's a guy that can get pressure on Caleb Williams and also is athletic enough to chase him down if he scrambles. So I believe most of those guys will play. I mean, this is a game where you don't have a game next week, you know. So if you're a little banged up, it's like go as hard as you can. You're going to get some rest. And it's a chance to go back to the Rose Bowl.
Well, Scott, thank you first off for letting me sit in your seat today.
That's very nice of him. Yeah,
very, very, very nice of you to let me fill in. But
you're always welcome.
Hey, thank you. So when it comes to this matchup, there's been so much talk, and we've done it on DJ and PK, Jake and Ben, Hans and Scotty, this show as well, all week long, talking about the rematch between these two teams. And it was a 1-point game the last time. You mentioned all the injuries, the question marks around Utah's football players. Where in your mind has USC either improved or changed the most from that first matchup a month and a half ago?
Well, I mean, every team, like when you have a team like USC where they're all new and they have all these transfers and they've played well, but they've seemed to get better across the board on both offense and defense. And they have changed a little bit of some of the things they're doing, but they just have more experience. I think it's a bigger change maybe on defense that they've gotten better, and they seem to be playing more cohesive. But in general, you know, just they're just playing. They're just kind of a team that just has gotten better and better as the season's gone on.
One thing that we've been like watching and trying to figure out this whole week is also, you know, this defense has gotten better. How good is the Utah offense, though, compared to when they were playing USC that first go-around? Because that's the question mark, right? But guys like Thomas Yasmin are people who you're looking at and you go, we got to get more out of you. We got to have a hurdle this game because that's when we need this type of a thing to happen for the Utes, because people are going to have to show up. There's obviously you're not getting the same running back room, and Jaquinnon Jackson, you know, had a really, really nice week last week, I think, to make people feel like, hey, he might be able to take over and it'd be a good time to do it. What has to happen on the offensive side of the ball for this thing to work, other than just, you know, the obvious of Cam Rising having a good game?
Well, yeah, I think the defense will play a lot better and maybe get some stops. But offensively, you're going to have to be explosive, and Cam Rising is a big key to that. So he's got to be able to move and be mobile, and that's one of the things that he's been so effective at, especially on third down. And he was injured, actually, the last time Utah played USC. But I think he's at full strength. And it's just a question, is Andy Ludwig going to open it up and get a lot of these other guys involved that, you know, does he trust them enough? Does he trust the Money Parks? Does he trust Jalen Dixon? You know, how does Jaquindon Jackson run in this game? These are guys that really haven't had a lot of championship experience. They're good, but you know, it's all new to them. And can Utah be explosive enough to keep up with USC? And you just hope your defense can slow down, or are you going to get a game like you had at Oregon, where it was just a very, very slow, very boring, very vanilla offense? Andy Ludwig's just got to unload and just throw everything he can at USC in this game.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we've been talking about all week, too, is just, like, who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be the X factor? Who's going to be somebody different that you're waiting to kind of just unleash, so to speak? And is there one of those guys that we still haven't really seen, like, be their best, that they're going to ask to be the best version of themselves today for the Utes to be able to get that Pac-12 championship?
Well, you know, we talked about USC getting better as a team, and I think with some of these injuries and some of these younger players playing for Utah, specifically on offense, I think they've gotten better. Those guys have gotten comfortable, and they've got game reps, and they have confidence that they can go out and execute. And so, you know, you've seen Monty Parks get involved. You've seen Jaquindon Jackson. And these are guys that have game-breaking ability. And the other thing you have Nate Johnson, the really fast quarterback.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him involved. Anywhere you can create explosive offense, and that's game-changing speed players. Hopefully Utah will have some concepts and packages ready to do that.
Well, so Scott, I'm just glad you didn't say Tavion Thomas like a certain ESPN personality decided to do.
Never heard of it.
Well, it's not just Tavion Thomas. Like, cue the sound, Jeremy, of him scoring a touchdown, so we can like really get an idea what kind of a guy this is. It's not going to be him.
Yeah.
But at the end of all this, USC might be. Last year, it was definitely Utah trending up. Mm-hmm. Is USC the team that's trending up this year? Or is it just us, the perception that because USC gets all the attention as it is anyway?
You know, every game is so different, and it's just kind of how you react to, it's usually the last two games you played. So USC played really good against UCLA and won an emotional rivalry game, and then they played in another rivalry game the next week against Notre Dame. And won there, and so you kind of does that emotion and that kind of overconfidence play into you, kind of maybe being a little lackadaisical in this game because it can happen. You know, you get too full of yourself and maybe you just don't quite respond the way you normally do, or do you just kind of keep riding the wave? And Utah, on the other hand, little salty. You know, Coach Whittingham started out at the beginning of this week like, "Hey, we're the underdogs." Kind of like no one's respecting us and everyone's forgot about us and we're hearing about this Heisman Trophy quarterback, blah, 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 blah. And maybe they come out with a chip on their shoulder and ready to play. And, that's the fun thing to watch and see, you know, how these teams show up from a mindset, because I think that really is probably the most important factor in what happens to this game. Who comes out with more desire, more energy to win a championship?
Now, we've seen USC make a remarkable turnaround here, Scott. It went from 4-8 a year ago. Now they're 11-1. They're in the top four in the college football playoff rankings. Would this not be the most Pac-12 thing in the entire world to have Utah spring that upset, as you said, have that rosy feeling after tonight, but at the same time have the entire Pac-12 lamenting the fact that they miss out on another playoff opportunity?
Well, the reality of the Pac-12 is there's just a lot of good teams.
It's been a really good season, overall.
There's not a great team, you know? I mean, you got six teams, I think, in the top 17 in the country. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anything is possible every week. I mean, you know, this isn't a shoe-in for anyone across the board, either with Utah or USC, you know? So, really, it's a team that shows up, doesn't make mistakes, is explosive on offense, and really, it's the team that can play some defense.
Right.
I mean, that's who's going to win. I mean, shoot, we may end up with like a 17-14 game.
Please, no.
You know, that would be a Pac-12 thing to happen right there.
Sure.
17-14. And everybody's like, you just lost the Heisman Trophy for your 17-point performance tonight, Caleb Williams. I'm so sorry.
No, I didn't. I'm saying Utah 17.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's what
I'm saying.
I can dig
that's
that.
What I'm saying. Yeah. Either way, low teens or a teen number that you're getting. Scott, before we let you go here, obviously you drove down. What's the comparison of like how many folks have been making this trip versus how many made the trip last year? And obviously you're not going to have as much of a wild, disparity of everybody loves talking about the percentages of who's in the stadium more. How much of Ute Nation is making this trip, and how much of that stadium is going to be full up of a bunch of Ute fans?
I'll tell you what, I saw the same thing I saw a year ago. I saw a lot of red walking around here as I came to the stadium today. And, of course, you know, there is Utah or USC has their faithful, but I think it's going to be a bigger crowd. It maybe won't be quite as partisan as it was last year, but it's still going to the Ute faithful are showing up. There's a lot of folks here. I mean, it's so easy. It's an awesome stadium.
Right.
I mean, it's a great game. Why would you not want to see it? So.
Yeah, and kudos to the people who all made it down, because it was like the worst time to be able to drive down. If people still try to make that trip this morning, I know of some folks who did, it was really dicey. So there are going to be some folks who are barely making it to the game, and hopefully they do. Scott, we appreciate it, man. I know you're in the stadium. You got some pregame to do, but thanks for hanging out with us for just a minute here.
Yeah, of course. Always glad to.
There you go, Scott Mitchell. That. All right, we'll see you later.
Give me a fun game tonight.
I don't know. I get nervous because I'm one of those, like, I get a little bit pessimistic where you go, I don't know. I just don't believe in this year's version of Cam Rising right now. I know that last week he had a good game against Colorado, but, like, you think about the last big game that he played was not a good one. It was maybe – you go from having the game of his career was probably that USC game, right?
Absolutely.
And then you go from that and he's not 100% after that game.
Well, he paid the price for that performance.
And then you get to the point where you go, all right, so he's not 100%. He sits out Wazoo, ends up coming in and playing in some of these other games, but you know, the competition wasn't the level that they were necessarily anticipating. I mean, the competition level was exactly what they were expecting. It was like, okay, we got to get through these guys, get to Oregon. And in Oregon, they still had a chance to win that freaking game, Jake. And he threw the three picks that were just not Cam Rising-like.
Every one of them was brutal.
And he doesn't give the ball away like that. But Scott's big thing has always been, it's because he's not been 100%. Like, he's not throwing that accurately because when you have lower body injuries – and it's that knee in his case.
He's got a knee brace on it, yeah.
You start making tweaks all over your body to make sure that you can still throw and you can still work it out, but something suffers on the throwing technique on the mechanics.
And that's exactly it. His accuracy last year was one of his calling cards, and this year it's almost a, I don't want to say night and day difference, but it's glaring, I guess is probably the best way to term to use to describe what's happening. But you're right. When you're not 100% physically, you're going to have to alter your mechanics to account for that type of an injury. And Utah, let's be real. They've got to have the best version of Cam Rising tonight if they want to win this football game. It was a 1-point game in Salt Lake City with him at the peak of his powers. They need that tonight again.
Well, and the slow start didn't help the Utes last time.
No, it didn't either.
That was
yeah.
such a huge deal. Uh-huh. I think for this game is if Utah can just weather whatever offensive storm that certainly USC is going to come out with.
Sure, yeah, and
they had success with that last time. They're up 21-7 real quick, knocking on the door to 28-7.
Correct,
and then the tides kind of turn a little bit, and you see the defense kind of start shutting down. That second half for Utah, that's the defense you need to show up. And man, it's a really fun thing to think that Utah is now in this same position that they were last year. And to be able to get to that Rose Bowl again is just based off of how they performed tonight. And who cares how you got there? Like, it's not, you don't get bonus points for showing up in a certain way. Like, they have the same exact record that they did last year going into this game.
Yeah.
So they won their 10th game of the season last year, a year ago today, and that's where we are today. They can get their 10th win. They go to 10-3. They'll likely be a top 10 team, and then sky's the limit. You go to the Rose Bowl, and you're going to probably face, I think the word has been, Penn State is kind of like been the favorite now, at least for some sources who are saying that.
There are reports out of Columbus saying that Ohio State would opt against playing in the Rose Bowl if everything holds. So essentially, if they had their pick.
What would they want then?
I don't know, honestly. I honestly, like, you want to go, oh, no.
The Cotton?
No,
give me the Cotton Bowl.
Jeremy knows. It's Orange Bowl, right? That's the conversation.
No, the Cotton Bowl is the like, at-large,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, Cotton Bowl is going to be American winner versus. Because here's the thing. If Utah wins, where's USC, Ohio State, who they pick, and that's one spot.
Got it.
So why would you want to not even give up? Well,
that's probably what
they're.
That's what Ohio State's probably looking for too.
Yeah.
If we could get USC, then we'll take it.
Yeah, and one of the reports I read with Ohio State potentially opting against playing in the Rose Bowl, some of them were saying they somehow would find their way into the Orange Bowl, and I'm like, how? But whatever. So
and now it's a wild next couple of days. What I like about this is that, for as much as I don't like the Friday game, I don't think the Friday game is a good. I think that it. Anyway, it's fine. It's in the middle of everything, and it is what it is. It's exactly what it's been over the last however many years. It's tonight, after this thing's all said and done, you know where everything's going to be. Everything else is just done. And tomorrow, then you watch all these championship matchups, and then everything shakes out to be what it is. But Utah knows if they win this football game, they go to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they're likely headed to
the Holiday
Bowl. The Holiday Bowl.
Going to San Diego.
That's not bad, though.
It's not bad.
Wait, what happened to the Las Vegas Bowl? That's out.
So the Las Vegas Bowl, it's down the pecking order, I guess.
Right, it's further down, for sure. Why not the Alamo Bowl then?
Well, and see, the thing, the Alamo Bowl is also in play for Utah, but it was Alamo Holiday, and one of those two is going to pick Utah, almost guaranteed. So,
boy, and Utah's like, please, Alamo Bowl, pass us up, please. All right, let's take a break here. Hey, when we come back, we got so much more to talk about today. Sam Farnsworth from KSL5 Television. All sorts of coverage across the board here from Las Vegas as we get you ready for Utah and USC tonight. Also, there's a dadgum Jazz game. The Jazz are looking to go to a two-game win streak. Can you call it a two-game win streak?
Yeah.
I think it has to be three to be a win streak.
Well, and that's you going with a major league thing.
You cannot be.
We won a game. We won tomorrow. That's what they call a winning streak.
Yeah, maybe. You got to win three, I think. So we'll take a break here. Happy Friday to you. Happy conference championship day. And look, wherever you're at, stay safe driving out there because it's going to be cold the rest of the day. And we got another storm rolling in at some point this weekend. So Davis Vision has extended its Black Friday sale. Biggest sale of the year, by the way. Save $1,400 off of LASIK in December. It's a great time to use the savings from your FSA or whatever it might be. Davis Vision offers flexible, no-interest financing as well. So check them out, davisvisionmd.com. Get on the schedule, davisvisionmd.com. We'll come back. Jay Catch sitting in for Scott Mitchell, who we just chatted with a little bit down in Las Vegas. He's calling a game tonight there. And we'll get to much more on your Friday here with you on a shortened edition of the show as we'll have the Ute pregame show starting at 5. Stay with us, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Utah, USC. The Utes battle the Trojans for a chance to play in back-to-back Rose Bowls. Pac-12 championship game coverage on The Zone is presented by UCCU. Love where you bang. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
To be able to be in that game now for four years is a real testament to, you know, our football team, the talent level of players that we have in the program, the, you know, just how dedicated they are to what they do and how bought in they are.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Jake Hatch sitting in for Scott Mitchell, who's down in Vegas. We just chatted with him a few minutes ago. Boy, lots of coverage from Vegas. KSL 5 Television. The KSL Sports Zone. We've got so many guys down there, and so it's just been really a fun go to be able to jump in with all these guys who are covering this thing, and to be able to go. I mean, like Kyle said, it was essentially 4 years out of five, yeah. If you want to count the COVID year, right?
He refuses to count it though. He said four straight because the COVID year doesn't count.
He hated that year. Like he
a lot of people did.
He grew. He was like. His heart shrunk three times that day, like, or that year, you know, like he was the Grinch of, he was so hard to remember. That's when the mullet came out. That's like when the big hair came out. Yep. That's when like the scruffy pirate beard kind of came out and, he was over it.
Yeah.
Like he was so grumpy during that year. Think about where Utah is right now. Where are they in the power rankings of the Pac-12? And if a second championship happens tonight for the Utes, where are they on that in the history of the Pac-12? Because they've only been in the league for 11 years, right?
Yeah.
And so you're not going to get the same type of recognition as a lot of these other teams because you're not a charter member of the old Pacific Six or whatever it used to be. You know, before Oregon State's like, we were there before everybody. It's like, no, yeah, but you still stink. So where is Utah on the power ranking order? Where do they put themselves historically in the Pac-12 if they get a win like this? And win their second Pac-12 championship, doing it last year over Oregon and then this year over USC. There's bonus points for beating the top names in the conference on your way to doing that.
Like, there's the historical names. You all know those. The USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington. Those are the
big dogs.
Big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Utah's relative brief tenure, that's That's as good of a run as anybody's had in recent memory in the Pac-12. For what Utah is built from, think about this. They had a pretty good run that very first year in the Pac-12, Alex. They came agonizingly close to playing in that first Pac-12 championship game. Mm-hmm. Lost that game to Colorado, disappointing. The next 2 years, 5-7, and there's a lot of question marks. Is Kyle Whittingham capable of really getting this team over the hump and making them a true Power 5 team? Well, what have they done since then? They have steadily climbed and climbed and climbed in the last four out of five seasons, they have played for the Pac-12 title. That's as good of a run, in my mind, as any team in Pac-10, Pac-12, go back to Pac-8, I guess, history, because it's been a really, really fast climb for Utah, but they've got staying power at the same time. That's the good news. Is this is not a flash in the pan, build up, make it once, and then fall back. They have consistently stayed in the mix for half of a decade now.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I was, I always look at the bowl projections kind of from everybody. Mm-hmm. And just, it's like when you fill out multiple brackets for your NCAA tournament and you go, hey, I had Chaminade beating, I guess Chaminade's Division II team, but I had UMBC beating Virginia.
I had that 16 on my bracket,
yeah. On your bracket, because you filled out 14 brackets and you did one that was a totally idiotic one, and that's how you picked it, right? Mm-hmm. So I picked the bowl projections that I look at and go, okay, there's very few out there by most of the big publications that have Utah in the Rose Bowl. Most of them have the setup with, and I was looking at Brett McMurphy. I really like Brett McMurphy's kind of take on stuff, and he does a good job.
He's pretty tight in on that stuff, yeah.
He's got Georgia, USC, and the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. So that's your 1-4 right there. The implication being, of course, USC takes care of business tonight against Utah.
Yeah, they win.
Then he has TCU and Michigan playing in that other one as the 3-2 right there in the Fiesta Bowl. The Rose Bowl for him is Washington, Penn State, which we kind of went through and said, all right, Penn State would be the invite, because the Rose Bowl and you, it's like Ohio State and the Rose Bowl are both like trying to get ahead of the other one going, yeah, we actually don't even want Ohio State. Yeah, we didn't even actually want the Rose Bowl. Like, I don't care for that. Blah, a tournament of what? Roses? Blah.
Yeah.
Not even my favorite flower. Like, it starts to get real weird when you poo-poo the Rose Bowl. And when the Rose Bowl says, we've had you too many times.
Yeah, you've come too recently too many times. We're you know, there's this other team over there in State College. we want them instead.
Yeah, what's wild is Penn State, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you'd have a couple guys who would sit a bowl game, because nowadays there's, you know, millions of dollars on the line. If you're like a guaranteed first or second round pick, maybe there'd be somebody who missed. But I don't think Ohio State did themselves any favors last year saying, we're going to sit all of our major guys. Like, here, C.J. Stroud's going to play, but all of our best wide receivers are not going to be in, and open the door for Najigba to have the day that he did. But they have Washington, Penn State. And the idea is also Washington goes to the Rose Bowl because they would be the next highest-ranked college football playoff-ranked team. And the Rose Bowl said, that's the priority for us. Yeah. One, we can pick whoever we want, okay? But the priority that we use is – if your college playoff ranking is higher than the other team that was technically the second place team, it's beautiful. This is where the system's messed up, and it could get better. A 10-2 Washington team is sitting around, and they could improve their status just based off of anything that happens this weekend.
Well, and that's the thing about this is you look at the schedules that both the Utes and the Huskies have played. Washington lost to Arizona State, Alex. They lost to one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the Pac-12 this year. Meanwhile, let's just say things work out the way the way Brett McMurphy's projecting them. USC does win, they advance to the playoff. Well, Utah will have played USC twice, while Washington didn't even play them once. But somehow, Washington gets to leapfrog Utah?
Right. No, people have a problem with it, but again, It's a 10-2 team.
And that's the thing. They've got the 10 wins next to their name. They'll be a single-digit ranked team. Meanwhile, Utah's 9-4 and doesn't look necessarily as glamorous, and that's why the Rose Bowl probably opts for Washington.
As a guy who grew up in – who spent a lot of time in the Seattle area and rooted for Washington a lot of my life, Washington and the Rose Bowl is a pretty classic – draw.
Yeah,
I mean, they're there a lot. And I think that that type of a matchup, Washington-Penn State, that is a classic of two, pretty, not blue blood. Penn State's a blue blood program,
they
I
are.
Guess.
Yeah.
Washington's not, but they're, still a major brand. So that would be big for them. But they have, I wanted to make sure that I double-checked what the Utah version of this would be, because I think that they would be, where'd they put the Utes?
McMurphy's.
What did he
put? Has him in the Holiday Bowl.
Holiday Bowl. So he has him in the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah.
So interesting one. And I don't think – and it just is – it's wild to see. You saw that Kansas and Missouri, that whole thing went south?
We can't get the border war because Missouri, an SEC team. We're in the SEC. We're a big dog.
Sure you are.
You don't want to play Kansas.
No. That doesn't look good.
We don't want to play the Jayhawks.
All right. On the line here with us, Sam Farnsworth from KSL5 Television. Hopefully the phone line will cooperate. Anybody who's around that stadium, it's a drop zone. So, Sam, how's Vegas so far, buddy?
Look, I blame everything on the Raiders. I mean, come on, let's be honest. They built a stadium that once you're inside, like, they don't want anything leaving, right? So, I'm just saying, I was down there on the field, my phone was ringing, I picked it up, and it immediately just died. So I am now right outside Allegiant Stadium, but I am here. Yes, I am here in Las Vegas.
Well, spoken like a true Broncos fan there.
Well, what are you talking about?
Now, listen, tonight's matchup is interesting for so many reasons, but it definitely feels different. How does it feel different for you this year's game versus last year's?
Well, definitely, the University of Utah definitely feels a lot more like an underdog coming into this game, right? Even though they beat USC earlier this season in that high-scoring shootout, the one-point win, the thrilling victory, it was probably one of the most exciting games in the Pac-12 this entire season. You still kind of get the feeling that they're coming in as the underdog. They still have a lot to prove, whereas last year they had that momentum just rolling with them, right? They'd beaten Oregon 2 weeks prior, and then they came to the Pac-12 and did it again. And just did it in dominant fashion. I think that's the biggest difference. I think it's the obvious difference, but it kind of feels that way too, that they have that underdog identity. The question is, are the Utes going to use that as an identity, as a chip on their shoulder as they go out on the football field today and try to prove all the naysayers or disbelievers wrong? And the funny thing is, I see, depending on what you're looking at, I see the Utes as favorites in certain situations, right? For this game, and certain I don't know who decides who's favorites, if it's the bettors or whoever, right? But this is definitely one of those games though where it's got that feel to it. Even though they're in the underdog, it kind of has that feel to it that I would not be shocked if there's a upset looming here with the University of Utah crushing USC's whole season hopes of going to a playoff.
Now, Sam, I don't know how much of a chance you've had to kind of wander around, but do you have a feel, I guess, for the disparity between the fans? Is it 50-50, 60-40? Where are things leaning in your mind?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've actually seen a lot of Utah fans, which I was wondering, because we for example, KSL Sports, the TV side of it, we weren't going to leave until like 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock this morning and just drive down here. But then our weather department was telling us about the storm coming in a couple days ago, and they're like, no, you need to leave Thursday. So we left yesterday, and I've been curious to know if enough Utah fans changed their itinerary to get here in time or not. Now, whether they did or they didn't, I'm seeing a lot of red. I've seen more Utah red than I have USC
whatever
red, maroon, whatever color you want to call that.
Crimson.
So,
did they call it crimson?
Okay. I think they do or something like that. Both of them are crimson.
So how is Utah crimson also? That's the, the question.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I have been seeing a lot over at the hotels and here at the stadium so far. So hopefully that's a good thing. George Klyovkov said in his presser yesterday that it is a sellout and they're expecting more than 61,000. The question is, will all those tickets be used? We'll find out. I mean, hey, for everyone who saw the game last year, who was at the game last year, who watched it, whatever, you know that Utah showed up very well to the Pac-12 championship last year. I would expect it to be the same this year.
Do you think Kyle Whittingham is sitting on a resignation stepping down after this season if there's a certain result. If they do win this game in this Pac-12 championship, they go to the Rose Bowl again. Is there a possibility, or is there anywhere in the realm of possibility that Kyle Whittingham would say, "Hey, this year I can't do it anymore. I've loved my time here." He's talked about the disgust that he has for the NIL stuff and the transfer portal, kind of where that's going. That's got to be absolutely draining. Do you think that Kyle Whittingham is maybe shorter time than his contract says in his job?
You kind of get that feel, right? Even just a return trip to the Rose Bowl might be enough. If they win the Rose Bowl, I think that's his sunset to walk off into, right? It just feels like that's what it would be. I've talked with someone that's pretty close to the program, and his observations are that Kyle just doesn't have the same energy this season. You know, I don't know if desire is the right word, but it's not as strong this year as it has been in years past. And he kind of feels like this could be very close to the end. You know, he's just running out of that energy, out of that. You can blame him, right? He's been doing it for so long. He's done it very well. And like you said, he's been vocal about it. He doesn't necessarily like the direction that college football is going with NIL and how that's affecting the transfer portal and things like that now. So for me, my opinion is if Utah gets back to a Rose Bowl, especially in a scenario where they're not expected to get back in, but they're able to get there again, I think that almost feels like that's celebration enough to finish off a career with two straight Rose Bowls. Now, I'm not saying he would leave at the end of the year, but it just sets the table nicely where if he wanted to go out, win or lose in a Rose Bowl game, that would just be a really nice way to call it a career.
Okay, so Sam, the game tonight, where do you think it tips? Is there like an X factor in your mind that's going to prove to be the difference, whether it's a player, a unit for either team? Where do you think this game tips on its head?
So I'll answer for a player and a unit. I think it tips. We've got to see a lot from Utah's offense. It's like similar to what we saw in the first game, right? That both teams scoring into the 40s. USC's offense is just such a well-oiled machine. They're so good. We know they're going to score points. They're going to rack up the yardage. Caleb Williams is amazing. They're going to do their thing. Utah's defense is the number one scoring defense, the number one defense for yards in the Pac-12. But even then, we saw what happened the first time these two teams met. Can they slow down Caleb Williams enough in this game? They might be able to. But ultimately, what it comes down to is if Utah's offense can keep pace or even be a step or two ahead of USC's offense. And for the one player, it's clearly Cam Rising, right? Since that USC game, when he kind of banged himself up a bit, I don't know what your guys' opinions have been, but he has not been the same quarterback. He's had some good stats at times, but still, he's been he's just been making mistakes that we haven't seen him make in the last season and a half, and some of whether that's an injury thing or what, I don't know, but he's just not playing at the level I think you'd expect him to play at. So that's the one player. Cam has got to be his very best in this game, and he's got to be the reason why the Utah offense is a step or two ahead of USC's offense in this game. If not, I just don't see a way Utah can win.
It's interesting how people just go, yeah, Caleb Williams, automatic Heisman Trophy kind of winner there. And it was because yesterday we were talking to, I think it was Matt Zemek, wasn't it, from Trojans Wire? He was like, hey, honestly, it was after that Utah game that he kind of turned it on. Like that was a game for him that was kind of a turning point. Mm-hmm. But that was also pretty far into the season. And yeah, they're 11-1. But if Caleb Williams was Utah's quarterback, would he be the automatic Heisman Trophy winner?
No, he wouldn't be. You know, even if Utah was 11-1 with Caleb Williams, right? Because you also have to look at the tools that Caleb Williams has. He's got arguably the best wide receiver in the nation, you know, as well to throw to. And he's just got so many options, a solid offensive line. It's just the perfect combination. You know, combination of quarterback and coach always works, and obviously that's a great one that he's got too. So, no, I mean, if Cam, you know, I'll just say Cam Rising because he is Utah's quarterback. If Cam Rising's got 34 touchdowns and 3 picks and 3,000 yards and is 11-1, is he a Heisman Trophy finalist? Probably not. Mm. But
But would his name come up in it? Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, Caleb Williams had all that momentum coming with him into the season already, and he's backed it up with the way he's played. And so I think that's part of the reason. And then, of course, USC, you know, their tradition, what do they got, like 7 Heisman Trophy winners, if you count Reggie Bush. And so,
if you count O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So,
how dare
you.
Sorry. I'm the one who said that. I'm a bad person now, huh? Everybody's like, there was a line. You just crossed the Heisman Trophy sacred line there. Come on. Get over yourselves. Sam, we got to get out. It's a break time for us, and I know you got stuff to do as well. Live shots tonight from Las Vegas. I'm assuming you guys have already scouted out some pretty cool places. Let's get it going, huh?
Yeah, we will. We'll be on KSL Channel 5 at 5 p.m. and again at 10 p.m. after the game.
There you go.
Sweet.
Dial in. Get KSL Sports Live. Thanks, Sam. We'll talk to you again, man.
See ya.
There you go. There's old Sam Farnsworth. I love how I made the – oh, that was such an inappropriate –
well, that's to be honest.
Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush is the one who gets a Heisman Trophy. Think about it now. Caleb Williams made 10 times what Reggie Bush made when he was at USC.
Okay, here's the thing. I work with Patrick Kidd on a daily basis.
Yes.
I was just going to put it this way. That was a PK moment. That was absolutely something PK would have brought up, honestly.
You know what? I feel honored. I feel honored then. But I love that you guys are like, oh. Jeremy has his hands up like, why would you do something like that? I was like, come on. I'm saying, come on.
Yeah. Well, your point is well taken. Like,
you guys, listen, so sensitive, you guys. All right, we'll take a break. Jeez. We'll come back. We've got our What Are the Odds around the corner championship edition of What Are the Odds. Plus, I bet because Jake's here, we're going to sneak in a soccer What Are the Odds.
Sweet,
as well.
Let's do it.
Or do we call it football? All right, we'll come back. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell normally with me. Of course, he's down in Vegas. He joined us in the very first part of the show as we are walking you up to Ute pregame show that's going to be live from Las Vegas. Christian Cox, Hans Olsen, Lloyd's down there.
Yes, he is. He drove most of the way, apparently, today.
Well, listen, it's because... Oh, did they drive down today, though?
Left this morning.
So they did roll the dice.
They did.
They went against what Kevin Eubank recommended.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
We told everybody all day, all the TV guys, like, under strict orders, were like, leave tonight. Yeah. Leave last night.
Yeah, get on the road.
Well, part of the reason was because they stayed for Lloyd's son's birthday, which I thought... And then you say, if we do that... You're driving. If we're staying for your son's birthday, you're driving. So
yeah, they got the whole crew down there.
Fun. It was cool. That setup was cool, too. I think they're at the Mandalay Bay, like, sports book table. Looked like it was, like, a legit setup. It's awesome. All right. What are the odds goes like this? You know how it works. If you've ever heard us do this on the show, we give you a scenario. 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen is what you give us. And then bonus points if you can come up with a jersey number that has – that number associated with it as well. So, first, does your home need that new look? RGS Exteriors and Construction can give you that look this year. Stucco, brick, vinyl. James Hardy Siding, give it a look. Give him a call. Give Tim Brown and his crew a call right now. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110, RGS Exteriors and Construction. And as always, What Are the Odds? Brought to you by TryDayTrading.com as well. So, what are the odds that Dalton Kincaid – scores a touchdown for the Utes tonight?
Ooh, that's a really, really good question, because the conversation is around him, Cam Rising, their health status in this game.
Right.
Man, give me a Paul Miley 54%.
Wow! Now, why are you saying Paul Miley? Because is his name thrown around a little bit more for that defensive coordinator position at BYU than maybe we had thought or something? What's going on? Why was he fresh at the top of your mind,
you're
bro?
You're thinking of Frank Miley.
Oh, Frank Miley. I'm sorry.
Paul Miley, his nephew, who's an offensive
lineman.
You're
going Utah Ute. You're going Utah Ute number. Yeah. Good.
So
now I'm showing you where my head is at. Like every name possible is on the list for a new defensive coordinator.
And the reason I say that 54% is because Alex Grinch, there's a clip we played this week that he essentially said that there's not a chance in you-know-what that we're letting him do what he did against us the first time. The 16 catches, whatever, gazillion yards.
16 catches on 16 targets.
Exactly. Like, he said, over my dead body, that's happening yes. again. So that's why I gave him 54%. Just a little better than 50%, but I think it's a little less likely than you might imagine.
We have that Grinch audio, don't we? What did he say? He said something about, we'd be damn stupid or something like that. Let's hear what he said about it.
The easy thing to say is it didn't happen or something like that, you ignore. But as a competitor, you know, you are certainly reminded of it. And it didn't take playing them again to be reminded of it. It's a constant that way. Anytime someone has a career game against you, and there's a level of embarrassment about it. But you also have to, you know, if a guy scores 40 in a basketball game, and you got to go play him again, you can't assume he's going to score 40 again. And we didn't do a very good job getting on the ground. And he makes big-time catches, and we don't tackle him. I know exactly what's going to happen on Friday. It's going to be the same damn thing.
Same damn thing.
Same damn thing. He's right, though.
Well, I mean, look. Okay, so I'm going to give it a little bit of a – I'm going to give it a higher shot because I think that they're just going to be asking everybody to just leave it all out there. They're going to have all their stars do all the things that they're supposed to do. I would love to see Thomas Yasmin get another type of – you know, not necessarily the hurdle goal because that was – or the hurdle touchdown because that was wild. Oh, yeah. That was just – that was – you know what that means is the athleticism level of the Utah tight end room is – is in good hands.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you talk about like kind of carrying that on and being as fast and as athletic as some of those wideouts on the field. So I'm gonna go with a Brant Keithy because he's not able to play and let's throw him in the game somehow, of course. And he's had, you know, it must be tough to sit out and watch all this play out again.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna give it a Brant Keithy 80%. So there you go. Because I think they're just going to go to him.
I can see it, yeah.
Why wouldn't they go to him a bunch of times?
You would absolutely.
Let's
go. You're going to target him. There's no doubt about that.
Take that the cortisone shot or whatever you need to get to be 100%. Let's go. All right. What are the odds that Utah sacks Caleb Williams? They had 4 sacks last week. Let's say they sack him 3 or more times tonight because he got to have pressure on that kid. Three or more times.
Three or more times. Jonah Ellis, his health status is in question.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that and he's a really, really good pass rusher. I've actually been really impressed with his play this year. Give me a I don't even know. I'm trying to think of a number that matches up with what I'm thinking, but
because it's not a Jonah Ellis 83%. Is that
what
you're
saying? No, it's not Jonah Ellis 83. No, you're right. Man, I don't know. Give me.
You're not feeling good about it, is what I'm saying.
I'm like 33. Like, I'm gonna, like,
3 plus. Three plus sacks.
33% or whatever. Because the one thing we need, everybody knows and we've seen and what we expect from Caleb Williams is he's like this elite escape artist. He can get out of danger all the time. But Utah has had the most success really in slowing him down, obviously, in that win. But, man, I'm just not confident. If Jonah Ellis is unable to be as effective as he needs to be, I think it's going to be a tough deal to get 3 or more sacks.
Okay. I'm going to go with I'm going to go low as well. Oh, let's see here. Not that low though. I'm gonna go with what number is Bryson Barnes? Is he 8? What is
Pig
he?
Pig Farmer's 18.
18. Yes, that's a good number. I'm gonna go with a Bryson Barnes / Peyton Manning 18%. So there you go. All right.
Okay.
We'll take the break here. When we come back around the corner, let's have a little chat with Pete Futock, College Football News. Love having Pete on the show. He has a ton of energy, and he's going to break down this game, of course, between the Utes and USC, and also kind of some thoughts on that college football playoff and how it's really starting to solidify and is starting to feel real and how that's going to affect the landscape of college football in the near future. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. So.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Oh, my goodness. We only have 1 hour left till we get you to Ute pregame coverage live in Las Vegas. Hans Olsen, Christian Cox bringing you that from Mandalay Bay. And getting you ready for that Utah game versus USC this evening. So getting you all ready for it. It's going to be awesome. I remember last year how intense this game was for about 10 minutes. I remember, so the game started, same type of thing.
Yeah.
Last year, I think it was a little bit even more of an early start. I think it might have been a 7 o'clock kick.
You might be right. Yeah.
Or 7 o'clock here, 6 o'clock Pacific. And I remember driving home. By the time I got home to turn the game on, it was already, I think, 14-0. And it was like,
yeah,
Devin Lloyd had that pick six. And you're like, dude, they have picked up right where they left off at the end of this one. But definitely different feelings about this game versus last year, this Utah team versus this year's Utah team. And certainly the opponent, USC, is on the rise compared to where Oregon was last year.
And that's the thing. We learned afterwards that Mario Cristobal had his foot out the door for, I don't know, 6 weeks.
Well, their OC was already going too,
exactly,
at that point, right?
But that's the thing about it. There's such a different feel this year because this has been a really remarkable turnaround that Lincoln Riley has undertaken here with USC going from 4-8 to 11-1. But the feeling between the two games is night and day different. Because last year we were trying to talk ourselves into, okay, it was just a bad performance when Utah went up there and pummeled them 2 weeks previous to the championship game. No, it was more of the same.
Well, and you felt like Oregon was like, hey, this is all we got right now. This is Anthony Brown is who we have right now. Huh? That's who we are. And it's weird to see him fall off again because I think, Bo Nix had such a great season this year for the Ducks. Joining us on the program right now, Pete Futock, College Football News. Pete, thanks for joining the show again, man.
So you guys in Vegas?
No, we are. They're like the only guys at the station
we're
not
the guys
in Vegas.
That were like left behind.
Jeremy was saying, I thought you guys were there too.
But well, no, Scott is there. Scott is there. Normally, Scott, of course, hosts a show with me, but Scott's down there. He's on he does the analyst on the radio gig down there. So yep. He's there. Somebody's got to hold down the fort here back in Salt Lake City. So
I have a friend there who says it's. I mean, it's weird. There's going to be like a Pac-12 championship with like people showing up. I mean,
supposedly
a
sellout.
How does that work?
Well, not just Utah people too. That's great.
Yeah, that's a one where it's not like the friends and family plan of the Stanford games for a few years there. And yeah, look, I have another friend who's off to see Michigan at Indianapolis tomorrow, and it's different animal, different vibe where. Indianapolis does everything possible to keep you from realizing it kind of sucks there in December, whereas, Vegas is Vegas. So
yes.
There's a reason why the Pac-12 wants to set up headquarters there.
Yeah, and I think, it's become a bigger marquee, bowl game, obviously, now with an SEC Pac-12 matchup, and that stadium just kind of lends to that now. And Utah was in this stadium and won a Pac-12 championship in it last year in the kind of inaugural go inside that stadium to do the championship. So, Pete, your view of this game, because like we were saying as we were bringing you in here, I mean, this is even though the record for Utah this year is the exact same as it was last year, it feels like the trend is that USC, and not just because of the line that's on this game, but last year was like Oregon, you felt like they were a little bit dead in the water before they showed up. Very different story this year.
Well, how Pac-12 would it be that they finally get a shot? They have not only a team that can get there, but with that talent on offense, they got a puncher's chance. I mean, I don't want to say Georgia's beatable, but Michigan's beatable and TCU's beatable. They got a shot at doing something here. And watch it just blow it, with the loss tonight. That was my call from early April. As soon as they locked in Caleb Williams and you saw the all-star team that they were arranging on offense, and you looked at the schedule, no Oregon, no Washington, all the big games at home or in the greater LA area. My call was that they were going to the college football playoff, and now that they're here, if it was Oregon or Washington, I'd just say no chance. It's USC's in, it's all good. But, like, you're right. Utah just sort of has a way, and if it can be Utah, which it hasn't quite been as much as it usually is when it comes to, the run defense and powering away with that ground game, that's it. That's how you do this. But it's all up to Rising. If he can keep he's got to keep the interceptions to a minimum because that USC defense makes up for a lot of problems with a lot of takeaways.
Now, Pete, I've been following your work forever. I think you were one of my first followers when I got on Twitter over a decade ago. So yeah, you do phenomenal work out there.
And you're the one. Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
probably. But you look at the college football universe from a unique perspective in my mind. And the Pac-12 this year has had a really resurgent year overall as a conference. Six teams that are ranked. The quarterback play has been really, really good by and large across the board for those top teams. Is this the type of season, if USC does prevail and get to the college football playoff, that can get the Pac-12 back into the public consciousness nationwide, or are they still going to be the kind of that afterthought that's out there on the West Coast?
Well, they can get them back in the national consciousciousness, and then you'll lose that team.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other issue at hand, yeah.
Well, I mean, not to go off on a tangent here yet, but I am still stunned that the Pac-12 hasn't been more proactive to, you know, just go get San Diego State already. I know it doesn't quite fit in a lot of ways. Go get UNLV just so you have your home base. You know, go expand. Go get Kansas. Like, go. I don't know why that doesn't work. That fits all the tier one research stuff, and they have basketball, and they have a market. But I digress. But yeah, of course, the Pac-12's been great. It's been fun. You know, it's the late night thing you want to see, where you've got these high flying teams. You've got USC and UCLA good. Washington's good. Oregon's good. Arizona at least was fun offensively. So it has been one of the most fun conferences in college football this year. And it would be great if USC got in. Do we really want? I mean, Ohio State can get in, and they can probably win the national championship and all that. But how much fun is it to a new energy and a new vibe? Like, let's say if it's Michigan USC in the Fiesta Bowl, which would probably be Michigan TCU. But if they could figure that out, that would be awesome. I mean, it would just add a whole new element to this thing. Got two new teams into this college football playoff, and a Michigan team that got trucked last year but is jacked up, and a Georgia team. You've got four teams, four separate areas of the country. It would just make for a better playoff this year.
One thing that we were asking, I think, earlier off the air, and then I think I asked one of our TV hosts about it. If Caleb Williams was playing for an 11-1 Utah team, would he be the quote-unquote automatic Heisman that so many people have kind of tabbed him with already?
Well, remember what the Heisman is. It's a popularity contest. Mm-hmm. And look, the College Football Playoff Committee didn't exactly watch USC until like a week and a half ago. I mean, because either they don't have the Pac-12 network or it's too late for them. And I'm actually not joking, because you can kind of tell in the rankings that compared to what they did, they were kind of going off stats. But what happens with this is all of a sudden everything builds. And then do you have the big moment on the big stage? Why did Bryce Young win last year? He had that moment against Auburn to pull that game out of the fire, and then he threw for, 424 in the SEC championship, and there it was. There's your Heisman. So when everyone's watching, did you get the job done? So, you know, Max Duggan's been brilliant. He has brought that team back game after game for TCU, but I have to explain that he plays for TCU. So it just depends on, do you do it when everyone's watching in the biggest of the big games? And he is just that good. So it's over tonight. Like, what stinks about this, and it stinks we don't have the expanded college football playoff yet, is we know what's going to happen after tonight. I mean, you can go Christmas shopping tomorrow, basically, because if USC wins tonight,
yes,
we got our four. And if Caleb Williams is just okay, win or loss, the Heisman race is over. So basically everyone gets up to watch the USC soccer team tomorrow, and then that's your championship Saturday.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too, because then we also got this gift this week of, you know, we've had little tidbits, right, of just little crumbs of feeling like the college football playoff expansion was won, starting to become a little bit more real. It was just about when, you know, they would be able to figure out the timing of when they'd be able to start it up, and the Rose Bowl was dragging its feet about how they were going to try to figure this thing out. So for the next 2 years, they're going to or for the 24 and 25 seasons, they're going to kind of play ball and be play nice about when they're going to hold that game and what time and all that. So now we have the college football playoff rankings making a very different difference in college football. How has the landscape changed now? Or is it still just going to be the big dogs getting a bunch more teams into this 12-team playoff versus it's just going to be boring again, I guess. It's some version of that.
It's going to be so much more entertaining, at least until the very end. Remember, first of all, the college football playoff has stunk over the last few years. We were really, really spoiled by the Deshaun Watson Alabama games early on, and the Baker Mayfield Georgia Rose Bowl game. I mean, there were some classics early, but man, I mean, last year's national championship was fine, but it was just sort of badly played, but it was okay. But everything else has just been blowout. Every semifinal seems to be a blowout or ugly. It just, ugh. So it can't be really worse when you have the four superstar teams in a year playing in it. But think about what we've got. I mean, first of all, it's going to be harder than you think to get in. It's not going to be like the NCAA basketball tournament. It's not going to be like, look, 67% of the NBA teams get in right now with the play-in system. You know, half the NHL teams get in. I think it's 44% of the NFL teams, 20% of college basketball get in. You're still only talking about 9% of the college football teams will make the playoff. And it's going to be hard. You have to be in the top 11, which, and when you have six conference champions in, that means there's only six spots available. That's not a lot to get in. So think about how this weekend would be. Like right now, like I'm not joking. Tomorrow, you don't really need to watch if USC wins tonight. We know who the four teams are. But if you were talking about an expanded college football playoff, you're talking about Purdue playing for a not just a shot to get into the playoff, but a bye. You're talking about North Carolina probably getting into the playoff, or else Clemson, you know, with a shot to get in. You know, Kansas State is playing for a spot in the playoff. You know, Tulane, as crazy as this sounds, would be playing for a bye if everything blows up. It would just, you would include so many more fan bases. It's going to be, make the Saturday like one of the top 5 days on the sports calendar. It just is going to, I get the traditionalist side of this. It's who I am. I'm a college football purist in a lot of ways. It's just going to make the sport a lot more interesting for a lot more fans.
Now, Pete, there's been a lot of talk about the Rose Bowl and they're supposed to holding up the expansion of the playoff. Give me your kind of your thought on were they being obstinate? Were they trying to, we're the Rose Bowl, we do our thing, and you guys kowtow to us? Like, where do you stand on all that?
I'm kind of on their side. I mean, they are the Rose Bowl. You do kowtow to them because it's the freaking Rose Bowl. And I know the Ohio States of the world, like, oh, I don't want to go back to the Pasadena. We don't want to do that. Like, I get that some of these programs are, like, think it's bored. They're going to be more excited to go, I don't know, to the Orange Bowl in Miami. I mean, it's the one game everybody watches. It's the one game your grandma watches on New Year's Day. Like, it's the second biggest football game of the year next to the national championship or whatever the big rivalry game might be. It's just the one it's tradition. It's what everyone watches. So I get it. You're the Rose Bowl. Keep that tradition alive. Keep it going. And make it a function of the system. And just remember, the people who are doing this college football playoff stuff, they are all bowl people. And so the reason why we have a playoff to begin with is that all they did was tweak the BCS, which all they did was tweak the bowl system to add one extra game. They just redesignated some of the games and called them playoff games instead of bowl games. And they're just going to do the same going forward, except with one round of playoffs that don't really affect the bowls. But they had to do something. Because look what this bowl season is going to be awful. Because look at all the quarterbacks that are transferring. You know, look at all the coaches that are gone. Everyone's going to opt out. You know, these teams are going to be shells of their normal selves because they're still exhibition games. The expanded college football playoff will kind of remedy that a little bit because those big teams will have more real games that they're going to have to play.
But will it also alter a little bit of what the will it? Kind of stabilize the transfer portal at all, where it's like, hey man, we got to the college football playoff, you know, 4 out of the last 9 years, and we're Kansas State, man. Or like, to be able to keep guys there, to be able to kind of incentivize these guys to say, hey, you too have a shot at a national title, sort of.
What we don't know yet is just how much of a role the NIL side of things is playing into this. Where if a guy's going in, I'm entering the transfer portal, I'm putting my name out there. Well, are you putting your name out there, or do you already have a spot? You know, did your agent or representative or whoever you're talking to, did they already figure out that you have, you know, a car dealership ad, you know, if you go to XYZ state or something? Like, so we don't quite know just how open this market is and how much the money is going to talk. But to the other point, to your point, is that look what going forward, maybe some of these deals are like, hey, look, we'll give you this deal. And if you get in a bowl game, you know, you get X, you know, $25,000 extra dollars if you play in this bowl game and, you know, you hold up the sports drink or something for us. I mean, there's going to be a whole slew of ways that this goes forward that it can actually make the thing better.
Pete Futak, you can always follow him, and we love to. College Football News is where you can find that byline, and he does a fantastic job. Pete, this is it's always fun to talk, and especially on a championship game day. It's a pleasure to talk to you today, man. Thanks for being with us.
Good luck tonight. It's actually going to make my life a whole lot easier if USC wins. But, hey, go ahead, Utah. Knock it out. It makes this thing
hey,
easier.
Go ahead. You do you, Utah. Thanks, Pete. We appreciate it. I mean, you know what's fascinating about all this, Jake, is that I wonder, the cynic in me, on the one side I go, yes, we're just going to have more football games. Mm-hmm. At the very least, the face value of this, more football games.
More football games is a net positive for everybody.
Yes, and games with little numbers next to both teams, right?
And that's okay. Let's talk about this for just a minute. 12-team playoff, the 5 through 12 seeds, that first round of this expanded playoff are going to be on in home stadiums. Alex, we could have Utah and ostensibly BYU in mid to late December.
Right now.
Hosting, let's just say, a Tulane-type team in LaVell Edwards Stadium or Rice-Eccles Stadium.
Well, this year, like, if the rankings, when you shake them out right now, yeah. Utah would be playing in Tuscaloosa.
They'd be playing Alabama, yeah.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah. And think about this.
Which, that's a game that's never been played, right? I mean, like, against each other, yes, but they're in Tuscaloosa.
In Tuscaloosa. The storylines would write themselves.
When Alabama, you can't, there's no version of, yeah, we didn't really want to play in that game, right? Like, you had the first time around that they could always kind of say, oh, well, we were actually playing in that game. Yeah. It's like, come on, man.
This is on your home turf.
It's on your home turf. Yep. And the real problem, though, about this setup is that the quote-unquote upset that will happen in a national championship is going to be number six Alabama winning the college football playoff, yeah, the national championship. Because everybody's going to look and they go, hey, Alabama gets in at 10-2 as a six seed, which, you know what that means? It wasn't even close. They get in easy to the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And Greg Sankey is licking his chops going, this is amazing. Well, as the commissioner of the SEC, yes, man.
Did you see
we just
get
as many guys as we want.
That Sankey said about like how many teams could advance in the college football
playoff? Five or six or something like that?
He said seven.
Oh, yeah. he said seven because... You know what you have to do? You have to ask for it. You just have to put it out there.
Yeah.
You start negotiating a little bit with everyone. You say, hey, that's what we're trying to get to. Seven teams.
Mm-hmm. We're the SEC.
Come wild.
On. We deserve the
I love it.
The lion's share.
Here's the problem is that and every year you hope there's going to be a Tulane type team, right?
Mm-hmm.
You hope there's going to be, because that's what it would be. The Green Wave would be playing the first round somewhere weird. It was going to be, at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. In Columbus.
Yeah.
And you know what? There are going to be some years that 12 seed beats that 5 seed.
And that's the part that we're all waiting for. We think about this, and I think Pete nailed it. The early part of this 12-team playoff is going to be kind of like the NCAA tournament. You're going to have an upset or two, ideally, every year. But in the end, like it typically does with the NCAA tournament, the cream rises to the top eventually, Alex. You lose some of the big dogs in that race to the top, but eventually the talent does emerge and that team rightfully wins a title. That's the fun part about what they're going to be doing with an expanded playoff here in just a couple of years.
Here's the thing I want, though. Here's the concession that needs to happen.
Okay.
You need to bag a third of these bowl games.
Well, I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Why not?
Because there's lots of money invested in lots of TV windows during the holidays that ESPN needs
to see, some of those are going to be filled by these extra games.
Absolutely, yeah.
However many games that there are that we get added with the college football playoff, take that many bowl games away.
Well, and that's the thing, because we're Buffalo won a game today against Akron 23-22 to get to bowl eligibility.
Hey, everybody. If you had Hot Maction talk going on Unrivaled today. You got it.
But that's the thing. So they were they're now the 81st bowl eligible team of 82 slots, Alex. There's going to be a 5-7 team, ostensibly Rice. Yes, the Owls are going bowling at 5-7 based on what it looks like. So your point is very well taken. Because if you're going to continue to keep the number of bowl games you currently have right now when that playoff comes into effect, are we going to go down to 4-8 teams potentially playing in bowl games? That seems like a loser's bet.
I just, you know, I just don't want the same old.
We don't.
Yeah. And I also don't want, because you put it on TV doesn't mean it's a good product.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the opportunistic, like, hey, December 18th on a Saturday afternoon, people are going to turn on the Idaho Potato Bowl because there's no other college football game on and they got used to watching them all year long. That's their model.
Yeah.
That is their model, Jake.
It's true.
And it's not a good model.
No.
What it is it's just opportunistic. It's just, hey, we're here.
We're
and you know
on
what you
TV,
do?
Yeah.
Offer those same bowl games, those same sponsors. You take off those bottoms. You take out those bottom seven teams or the bottom eight teams or whatever it is.
Sure.
You get rid of those and you say, hey, listen, you're going to be able to buy, because you could make that first round game of Tulane versus Ohio State. It's at the Horseshoe. Call it this X bowl game. Call it this whatever this bowl game is that lost. You can't call it the Motor City Bowl or the Citrus Bowl, I guess. But
you can
the
call
Citrus
it
Bowl.
Insert sponsor name bowl game here. Yeah,
we already have all these stupid bowl games with their dumb.
The TaxSlayer.com bowls.
Tony the Tiger Bowl. Although that was pretty cool.
The Cheez-It Bowl. Come on.
I told you I have a love for the Cheez-It Bowl.
Did you see the
yes,
the
I did.
Room that they're going to put those players
yes, I
up
did.
In?
And you know what? Good for them. Take that rug home. You deserved it. That's some NIL money used right there.
That's the way to do it.
Let's take a break here. When we come back, we've got some sound from Devin Cafusi earlier in the week. We asked him just a little chunk of the interview we had with him on the Players Club. I want to get into a little of what this game is versus last year's game in the Pac-12 Championship. How much of an advantage is it that they were already there in this building in this same exact situation last year? And also what this USC team is going to do different against them in this one as well. More to go right here. It's unrivaled as the Utes and USC get ready to face off against one another. We've also got a Jazz game tonight. The Pacers are in town. So Indiana Pacers in town. The Jazz trying to make sure that they could try to win as many of these next four games in a row possible because they're all going to be at home. Try to take advantage. So we'll take the break here. We'll come back. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The KSL Sports Zone. Utah, USC. It's the Pac-12 championship game as the Utes look to punch their ticket to another Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hut, hut, hut. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Friday. Championship night for the Utah Utes taking on the USC Trojans. Bit of breaking BYU news, though, shall we? Jay Catch, of course, always on top of all this stuff. While we're in the break, something was announced on social media about a BYU player that makes a significant impact right now, and kind of tells us exactly what we had all sort of thought about the transfer portal. So what do we have news-wise on this front here?
Well, the transfer portal is just – it hasn't even officially opened, and we're just seeing guys left and right saying, I'm going to the transfer portal, by the way. I'm looking at my options. Well, BYU, their first, I guess, notable addition to the transfer portal outside of Dallin Holker, if you go back all the way back to midseason.
Sure.
But Jacob Conover, backup BYU quarterback, has announced that he will be entering his name in the NCAA transfer portal. In part, he says, these past 3 years have been some of the greatest times of my life. Mm. They've involved moments, memories, and relationships that will last a lifetime. I am so grateful for the love and support I received during my time here from my teammates, staff, and fans. But then the best part is, Scott Gerard's going to have a field day with this. With that being said, after much prayer and talking with my family, I'll be entering the transfer portal and starting a new chapter of my life. I am excited for what the future holds and ready to attack the new challenges ahead.
All right. So, hey, tighten up that chin strap, Cade Finnegan. You're the new starting quarterback of BYU. Sorry.
Well, here's the thing. Cade Finnegan has actually been dealing with a foot/ankle injury for the last little bit. So we're probably down to Solje Maiava-Peters or Nick Billups.
Let's be honest about where they're really down to. They're going into the transfer portal, and BYU, this has been their model, right? Uh-huh. I mean, they it's worked for them. Skill position guys.
They've done it with running backs mainly, but yeah.
Yeah, but skill position guys coming out of the transfer portal, and they haven't had to dip in the transfer portal for a quarterback between Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall over the past 4 years. So now it's pretty clear that with Jacob Conover leaving, one, everybody thought that they were going to dip into the transfer portal anyway. Mm-hmm. Jacob Conover sees the writing on the wall. Where do you think he ends up? Because he had a ton of offers. This is a four-star guy that did not work out for BYU.
Yeah, I'm not going to be surprised if he goes close to home and might be playing. As PK likes to say.
Was he a Mountain View Bruin down there?
He was not. He was a Chandler. Was Chandler's? Are they the Wolves? Whatever they are. Mm-hmm. He won three state titles as a starting quarterback in high school. Well, his head coach at the high school level, Sean Iguana, was the interim head coach this year after Herm Edwards got whacked down there in the desert. And as PK is fond of saying, I could very easily see Jacob Conover, quote, getting silly with Dilly. That's PK's new term for Kenny Dillingham, the new head coach.
He loves his Sun Devils, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. So, but don't be surprised.
He loves and hates his Sun Devils.
Number 17, Jacob Conover, would not be surprising to see him, quote-unquote, getting silly with Dilly down there in Tempe.
Well, there you go. I mean, so Jacob Conover going into the transfer portal is a massive bit of news. that means you're not even going to the bowl game, right? Like, it's like, it's not like, hey, after this next game, well, this
thing,
is like.
And the thing, the way he wrote this is I will be entering the transfer portal and starting a new chapter of my life.
Yeah.
That's not like the door. He's not like, the door's still open for me to return.
There's no such thing as a guy announcing he's going to go to the transfer portal and then saying, after the bowl game, of course, I'll be there. It's like, nah.
I'm going to reevaluate. No, yeah. It's.
And the grumpiness level, like the pissed off level that these guys have, it varies.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a. You know, of a grudge he may or may not be holding against BYU if these were indeed some of the best moments of his life. The reality is just the writing is on the wall that he probably would be – they'd be looking for a number one while they would try to keep him number two.
Yeah.
That's – it. That writing is on the wall. Everybody knew that.
Well, and the other thing about this, Alex, you and I did the pre- and post-game shows all year long.
We're like, everybody's like, please don't throw that football, Jacob.
When is Conover going to get an opportunity? And, like, you would think, okay, Liberty, they're getting absolutely obliterated in that second half out there in Lynchburg. Wouldn't you think in a blowout-type scenario, you insert him to just have cleanup time? Nope, they rode Jaron Hall to the death of that game. So there's so much that – yeah. If you were reading between the lines, it sure seemed like this was very much in play. And then here
wild
we go.
Stuff.
Scott Gerard, a hashtag that being said from BYU.
He did
the tweet came through. Scotty got it.
I thought he said he was quitting this soon.
No, he's not quitting anytime
home, when it hits home like this, you've got to do it.
Oh, no, Scott's not giving this up. He absolutely
he's like I just like imagine him, like the filters on Twitter are just like, send me everything that says with that being said. Because he's getting not just the with that being said about football stuff, it's about everything. Anything. Some guy quits a band, with that being said.
Yeah.
He's getting all those updates via Twitter. All right. So there you go. There's the update. Jacob Conover hits the transfer portal, no longer living the dream at BYU. Another four-star guy who didn't work out for another four-star quarterback for BYU that just didn't work out. I think everybody saw that. I mean, he handed the ball off the entire rest of the way against Stanford, right? And threw that one pass, and everyone went, ooh. Like, it was one pass, and it was not good.
Yep.
The Jacob Conover era is not going to be looked upon fondly because you didn't see him. The team never – the drop-off from Jaron Hall to Jacob Conover was always huge. It never got better, and so I think that's the part where people look and go, all right, well, that's why everybody's going to be moving on here. And when it was the bye week, Jake, and they had to have tough conversations with these players, you're going to start seeing some of these guys who had those tough conversations with their coaches, and this is coming out over the next few weeks. This is likely one of them.
Well, and that's the thing about this is I've been talking with enough folks, hearing enough rumors, all that stuff out there when it comes to BYU. The BYU is not going to be immune. They've been very much immune in the first early goings of the transfer portal of not losing a bunch of guys, but also bringing some guys in. This year, this offseason in particular, Alex, don't be surprised if 30, 40 new names are on BYU's roster going into next season. There is going to be a mass, and I mean mass roster turnover for the Cougars, it feels like. And this is just the start.
Oh, for sure. All right, there you go. There's some breaking news. I always love that. Anytime something breaks, we'll fix it.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Jeremy, let's get to some of that conversation we had with Devin Cafusi this week. This is specific about this game against USC. I asked him a question right off the bat here about just the difference between these two games and this USC team now.
But how different are they now that you're playing them at a neutral site? And they've had a couple of weeks under their belt. They're certainly coming into this thing going, there was one team who beat us by one freaking point this year. Their playoff hopes are on the line in this game. They're not playing at your place. And so what challenge does USC pose for you guys as a defense and for the team overall this weekend in Las Vegas?
Oh, huge. You know, end of the season, everyone's beat up, you know, on our side and USC side. Definitely, like I said, huge going into a neutral site. But, you know, I'm happy, you know, it's Vegas and the Ute Nation, you know, the Utah fans love traveling to Vegas, especially for this game. So it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. Defensively, I think we've got, you know, I know we've gotten a lot better, you know, the past five games. Our defense is locked in, so I'm excited to see, you know, how everyone steps up and plays. Head into practice today and stuff and, you know, following the game plan. You know, credit to Coach Scally. Yesterday we went over, you know, the final standings and our defense, you know, topped out in really all categories for the Pac-12. And so, yeah, just having that confidence, of where we are and, you know, heading into this week against, you know, Heisman hopeful Caleb and, you know, a high powered USC offense. It's going to be a showdown for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's must see TV. It really is. And there's no plane flights. They're all sold out. I know. There's hardly any rooms.
Vegas is all, yeah. We have the rooms. You're going to have to pay though.
Yeah. You're going to. So it's really exciting. It was good to see Cam Rising have a really sharp game mm-hmm. this week. And, you know, for whatever reason, he just really struggled at Oregon. And I'm not sure he was completely healthy, but he appeared to be healthy. And it was good that he got some work, but he also got some rest. How valuable was that for him? But also, how valuable was it for you guys on a short week to really kind of, you know, the ones got a nice, you know, maybe a reprieve where they didn't have to play in the second half?
Yeah, huge, you know, because as the season goes on, build off each week, you know, physically, mentally. And so, you know, kind of like a bye week we talk about, kind of, you know, having a down week could be even harder coming back into the rhythm and stuff. Yep. But, you know, I think the mindset of the guys was, hey, we don't know what's going to end up this weekend, who's going to win and lose, but, you know, if it comes down to it, let's be at our best. And so let's come out here and, you know, execute the game plan and do what we need to do to win. And, you know, it just worked out great for us out there in Colorado leading up to this championship game.
Devin Cafuccio is always joining us here on Unrivaled on our Players Club as Utes get ready for bonus football. How much does last year's game, like, what does that give you guys as an advantage, or is it even an advantage over USC going into this one? It's the same freaking building you guys clinched last year. It's there certainly won't be the same ratio probably of Oregon and Utah fans. I think you'll see USC show up maybe in a little bit more. But I do wonder that if you guys have that edge to be able to be like, well, we know what it feels like to be here. We know what it feels like to win the championship in this building.
Yeah, no, really, for sure. Yeah, for sure. You know, going down there in Vegas, I think just all the guys know how the highlight, you know, and really the highlight in a lot of guys' lives was winning that championship last year. And when we think back on that and, you know, all the fun and having that satisfaction and accomplishment, it just lights the fire in the guys and, you know, in everyone's heart saying, hey, the Pac-12 championship is too fun. You know, it's too much fun to go down to Vegas and to win. So whatever it takes, like, you know, just remember that. And it's been nice having that, you know, it's kind of that thought store back there and just remembering that experience to help us, you know, get up and focus and do what we need to do to, you know, have that same experience.
Interesting game. It just is a totally different thing. And yet they've been exactly in this spot too at the same time. Right.
Yeah.
This game is, yeah, I think everybody, I mean, this is why you have to play these games, because you see how this thing has been lined up this week, and it's not the highly anticipated matchup, you know, that a lot of these other college football, you know, these championship games over tomorrow could have a lot more of an impact.
Sure.
But, man, I'll tell you, no one wants to give Utah a shot because no one likes to talk about Utah versus talking about USC. Unless you're talking about us. Unless you're talking about our market.
Hold on. Who are you? Are you Paul Feigenbaum over here? Nobody likes Utah.
No, I'm not saying Utah. What I'm saying is that outside of us, here in the state of Utah.
You're right. No, you give a very good point.
Everybody goes, I don't know anything about Utah, man. That's the vibe they do, right? I just don't know anything about them, right? They might know who Cam Rising is, or they might put a highlight up and say, boy, if Tavion Thomas is running really well against this USC team this weekend, like if that that's a perfect picture of how this game is being treated.
Oh, yeah. No, and you
is people going, and it's not a it's certainly not a disrespect thing to Utah as much as it is just that people love when USC does well. Even though these guys are the biggest freaking villains on the planet right now. They're walking away from the conference. They did it in the dead of the night, and everybody is still intrigued somehow by this freaking USC team.
The thing is, there are programs that have their own, I guess, gravitational pull out there in college football. Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Miami when it was good 2 decades ago. Like those teams that they operate in their own universe. Alex, USC has been, is right now, and always will be one of those teams that when they are good, they stand alone. And that.
I know you're right. You're right. They are like the consummate villain right now because you're right. They left in the middle of the night. They lied to everybody's face about being committed to the conference, even though they were stalling for time to take that deal from the Big Ten in the meantime. They are the villain, but at the same time, when they're operating at peak capacity, there is nothing like the USC Trojans.
Oh, so you don't believe in Utah then, do you, Jake? Is that what you're saying? No,
I actually do.
I was just turning the table. I know. We know what Utah can do.
Yeah.
We know that it hasn't been. What's wild about this is that this team, this USC team is the sexy sell all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Utah's not. What's been good, though, about this team is over the last couple of years, their offense has been kind of exciting, right? I mean, you talk about putting up points, seeing this team have, a type of an effect on these games offensively that, you know, the first time around, Andy Ludwig was not known for.
No.
And so that's where I think that a game like this tonight's going to make a bigger difference.
And getting to Scott's point when he first joined us on the show to kick off the show today, he talked about the fact Andy Ludwig's got to open things up tonight. And it really feels that way. This has got to be one of those games that you – Kalani Sitake talks about, other coaches mentioned, empty the tank. Whatever trick plays, whatever gadgets you got, whatever you think can be effective against USC in this game that you feel like can get you over the top, you go for it.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. Finalize some things here before we get you ready for the Ute pregame show. Hance and Christian Cox standing by down in Las Vegas to get that thing going. So we'll come back, wrap things up, and then we'll pass that off to them down in Sin City. More to go around the corner, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Don't touch that dial!
This is the Utes at 50 update, presented by Zions Bank on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right. Your Utes at 50 update right here. Kyle Whittingham. Oh, man, we're an hour from kickoff almost. Here's what he says about the difference between this USC team they're facing now versus last time.
Well, you got to tweak things a little bit. And one thing they have done since we played them, they were a 10 personnel heavy team with 11 being the second group. And that's flip-flopped. 11 now is their, they've gone more to 11 personnel. Those percentages almost did a 180 with each other. And so that means different personnel on the field for us when they're in 11 as opposed to when they're in 10. And they seem to have really settled into that 11 personnel grouping and getting, you know, most of their snaps out of that group.
For big-time banking with a home team feel you can count on, Zions Bank is for you. More to go around the corner. Let's listen to what Lincoln Riley says about this game, just to refresh your memories a little bit before the U pregame show fires up. Stay with us.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. Utah, USC. It's the Pac-12 championship game as the Utes look to punch their ticket to another Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hut, hut, hut. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Appropriate song. I took her out to the Friday night, rockin' love.
How about you don't denigrate the good name of Blink-182?
This is like Jeremy's like, hey, would you sing more Blink-182 on the air? Is that it? That's about the time she walked away from me. Don't make me get my dashboard confessional voice out. So sorry.
Oh, jeez. Dashboard confessional. You just threw me back to high school.
You know what this
school.
Is? High school?
Yeah.
College. See, dashboard's college for me. And like at the point too where you're like, I think I really like this girl.
Blink,
like,
Blink, so stupid. Blink was junior high for me, and then dashboard confessional was high school.
Yeah, that's about right. Maps out about right with our ages. There you go. oh, my goodness. Last portion of the show brought to you by Jerry Seiner Cadillac. You can shop your way to get a piece of luxury today. Stop by and give them a test drive. Jerry Seiner Cadillac. Revisit luxury the way Cadillac does it. Let's go. Let me see here. I wanted to play this little clip here from our buddy Lincoln Riley. If you look, USC has had the Southern accent guy before. They just got rid of one, right? You get rid of Clay Helton.
A little bit, yeah.
Who was like the nicest, sweetest Southern man. Also didn't win football games. That didn't help. Then you got Lincoln Riley, who comes in, also Southern accent. Because if you're gonna be taken seriously as a football coach, you got to have a Southern accent. But here's Lincoln Riley lying through his teeth about how this game is not a payback game.
This is not a revenge game, and that's not what this is. We played a really good football game, as did Utah up in Salt Lake. It was a elite college football game. Came down to one play here or there. They got us that time. But this was not about that game. This is a new game, a new challenge, a new setting. Teams have evolved. Both teams have changed, certainly throughout the year. So this is about that and obviously the opportunities at hand.
This is your one loss of the year, by the way, Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
You know exactly how this thing works. You have to go through this team. And you have to generate energy for your team in a different way. Look, here's Kyle Whittingham. Here's how he does it. He manufactures a way to get excited for a game, and that is always playing this card right here.
You know, pretty much everyone's got them winning already and going to the playoffs and Caleb winning the Heisman, and that's already kind of been talked about. So we love that role. We love the chip on our shoulder, the nobody giving us a chance. We seem to thrive in that capacity and in that world.
How long does that last? Like at some point, if you go back-to-back Pac-12 champions, and no one's ever given us a shot, man. Just chip
Kyle
on our shoulder.
Is a master at playing that card.
He will. Absolutely. And you know what it does? It's because that's what gets you excited. That at least is a little bit more along the lines. He's not manufacturing. He's not lying about this. Yeah. He's waiting for them to say one little thing to where they go, yeah, they're not giving us a chance, man. And you know what he gets in the locker room and says with his guys? The same exact thing. No one gives us a chance. We're the Pac-12 freaking champs, man. And no one's giving us a chance.
Yep.
Nobody likes us. Chip on our shoulder. Let's go. All the greats do it. Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, they have to act like somebody hates them to create some sort of a something. Yeah, we're the underdogs in this game. No, you're not. In Utah's case, you technically are, and so you go, perfect. Don't forget, this team was a landslide preseason pick to win the Pac-12 championship this year prior to the season. So are you really chip on your shoulder, underdog? Aw, shucks. Come on. But Lincoln, I mean, at least he's telling more of the truth. Lincoln Riley, that's not a playback game. That's not a revenge game. Like, come on, dude.
Kyle is using the moment because everybody looks at USC as the likely favorite in this game, even though the betting line doesn't necessarily indicate it. But Kyle, anything he can use, any smidgen of a
motivator,
edge, or
let's
whatever,
go,
he's going to use it. Absolutely,
absolutely. You got it. You got to get it going. You got to make that thing up. You got to go after it. Utah wins this football game, Jake. If they do what?
They go toe to toe. Offensively, they've got to do what they essentially did in that last game. And Utah's defense as well has got to step up. They actually, after this very slow start that Utah had offensively and defensively in that game against USC, the second half, Utah's defense really stepped it up. If they can play that type of defense the entire game tonight, that may give them the edge. But Utah's offense, as Scott said, they got to open it up. They have got to just throw everything they've got at USC.
I'm not sure the firepower from Utah is 100% and your weapons are all there. And so a slow start cannot happen for Utah. No, you cannot get down early against this USC team this time around. You don't have the advantage of the home field advantage. You cannot get behind like you did game one.
No,
there's no such thing.
Trouble, yeah.
And so that's what's happened. If USC wins this game, if they can come out and punch Utah in the mouth and have Utah have a slow start, because last year against Oregon, they blew them up at home because they had the fast start. They were 28-0 at the half, right? They blew Oregon up in the second time around in the conference championship game because they just punched them square in the mouth again and it just picked up where they had left off. A fast start for USC cannot happen if Utah's going to win this
avoid
game.
That. Yeah, you got to avoid that for sure.
All right. That does it for us. Jake, thanks for hanging out, man.
Absolutely.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.